Blog Talk Radio.
Inaugural show here this evening. We have the Big Swing with us, and who knows how many different guests and how many different individuals we'll have on. We plan on doing this show at least once a month, maybe every other week, but we'll see what happens. So let's kind of get to this here. We're going to be talking a little bit about wrestling tonight, the past, the present and the future, and also what's going on with the Vince McMahon scandal. But let's introduce our guest at this time. His name is Bob Johnson. Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm great, man. And by the way, this is Bob Johnson. I used to be the late, great Sue Hart's right-hand man. And you're listening to the new Icon and Friends Power Hour Plus with the Icon and the Big Swing, and a host of others. Great to be on.
Hey, Bob. So, yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the past. You know, you just mentioned that you were Stu Hart's right-hand man, so I'm guessing that you have seen and heard a lot in your time in the business.
Yeah, it's been an interesting time in my past. If I could... Before I actually tell you how I got involved with Stu and company, I can have your permission to just tell you a little bit about how I got involved in wrestling in the first place. Is that okay?
Of course. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm from a place called Winnipeg, Manitoba. I live in Calgary, Alberta right now. But when I was a young lad, I had asthma, so I could never participate in football, hockey, or any sports. I was always kind of an outsider. And when I was going to school, I had one sport that I was able to really enjoy was pro wrestling. And I remember in the early days, my dad had a guy he used to work with who was the wrestling promoter in Winnipeg called Alex Turk. And my dad said, you know, can I get a couple of tickets to take my son Bob down to the old Winnipeg Auditorium and see some wrestling? So back in the day, the NWA out of Toronto called Maple Leaf Wrestling used to come into Winnipeg about once a month. And they went to the Winnipeg Auditorium, and they drew about 3,000 people every month. Winnipeg was always a very big wrestling place. Anyway, I was about 8 years old. My dad got a couple of tickets from Alex, and I'll never forget that first night. I was totally hooked. The main event was the Kalmykoff brothers. I'm not sure if any of the fans will remember them, but they were the heels, the bad guys. People hated the Kalmykoffs. And they were going against two fan favorites, Yukon Eric and the great Whipper Billy Watson. So that was my first introduction to a live wrestling, and I was instantly hooked. And then a couple of years later, I got a little bit older, and I was about 12 or 13, and I went down to the auditorium by myself and watched a few matches. And I remember always liking, like, I used to like to go to the back where the guys were coming out, And quick story, I was there one time, and I thought maybe I'll get an autograph or something. And lo and behold, I met two guys called the Kangaroos, El Costello and Ray Heffern, the Royal Kangaroos. And there was instant rapport, and I thought, man, I think I have a mate. And I remember one of them said, Bob, would you be interested in carrying our bag back to the hotel? And it was a place called the Marlborough Hotel, which was where all the wrestlers used to stay. So I remember going back to the Marlborough Hotel. So anyway, lo and behold, I thought, man, a very fortunate young man to meet the Royal Kangaroos. And these guys are bad guys at the time, but they were my fan favorite. So, and then eventually I got involved with the change ownership. The NWA stopped going in, and Vern Gagne and AWA from Minneapolis started running Winnipeg. Eventually they left Winnipeg out of
Huh? And that would be my home territory. Seeing how I'm from North Dakota, that would be my home territory, Vern territory.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was AWA, and I remember they had guys like, it said Winnipeg, Minneapolis, Detroit, Puerto Rico. They always mention Ivan Putski, Poland, yeah, Poland. So Ivan Putski and the Crusher and Maurice Vachon, all these guys, I started watching them on TV every week on a Saturday night.
Dick the Bruiser?
Dick the Bruiser, yeah, Ray Stevens, the whole works, you know, and it was a great thing to watch on a Saturday night. And a few years later, I knew the guys used to stay at the Marlborough Hotel, and I was down there one night, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go down. Maybe I found out that the AWA guys used to hang out there, and I went in there one night and sat down in the restaurant. But talking to this guy, his name was Bill Miller, Big Bill Miller, Dr. X, says, please join us. So I joined them at the table, and the guy with him.
You mentioned Vern Gagne's territory. My parents always used to go to the Fargo Civic Center once a month or once every other month to watch guys like Mad Dog Vachon and Butcher Vachon. And my mom told me a story how they used to just love going until Mad Dog Vachon took a clothesline over the rail and ended up in my mom's lap.
Boy, yeah. I can see something like that. That would be, yeah, Fargo, yeah. That wasn't...
She said she got so terrified they didn't go again after that.
Well, it's different, you know, different time in wrestling. It's not like now. Those days, it was all protect the business, kayfabe. I mean, you could. I remember Nick Bockwinkel and putting an arm bar on a guy, and he would get so much heat after 20 minutes with one simple move, and the fans went crazy. I remember guys like that. Nowadays, it's all changed, but I'm just saying, with Big Bill Miller, when I sat down at the Marlborough Hotel, the guy with him was turned out to be Andre the Giant. So I drank one beer, and he drank 10. But I spent about an hour with these two guys, and I thought, wow, this is fantastic, Andre the Giant. He was a pretty nice guy, very nice guy, and Big Bill. And so, no, that was kind of the start of my getting to know a few of the guys. And you know, a guy from Winnipeg who was just a big fan. I was in my element then. You know.
Bob Johnson's our guest here. He's our wrestling historian from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Now I want to kind of transition a little bit. You know, you mentioned you work with Stu, so that would be, of course, Stampede Wrestling.
Yeah.
In that time, working with Stu, you've met all the boys, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, let me kind of tell you how I sort of got involved with Stu. It was an interesting deal. I had just to finish my thing about Winnipeg. I used to hang out in Winnipeg, and I got to know. I had this little grocery store in Winnipeg, and it was right near the Winnipeg Arena. And the wrestlers used to all stop in there for smokes and cigars and mix and whatever they were doing. Lo and behold, Bobby Heenan came in my store, Jack Lanza, Bobby Duncan, Nick, Maurice Vachon. Mainly the heels, for some reason, came in. And Johnny Valiant, Jimmy Valiant, we became really good friends, and they invited me down to the Marlboro to drink with them, and ended up one night, in fact, I used to, every third week in Winnipeg, AWA would come in, and I'd get one time I got a call from my store. I answered the phone call, and he says, "This is Bobby Heenan. I'm in Fargo, North Dakota. We're going to drive up to Winnipeg for tomorrow night. Let's get together, Bob." Hey, fantastic. And then he actually talked me into one time, said, "Can you get somebody to take care of your store? Why don't you come down to Denver with us?" So I got on the plane the next night, went down to Denver. We're going in the back door. They had all the fans on one side of the old McNichol Sports Arena. And there was Jimmy, Johnny, and Bobby Heenan. Some fan yelled out, "Hey, Heenan, who's that guy with you?" And Heenan says to me, I had lost my long story. I didn't have any lower denture. But anyway, he said, "Bob, take out your teeth and growl at the guy." So I did that. And the guy said, who is that guy? Heenan, who is that? He said, "It's none of your business. That's our manager. That's Bobby J." And I thought, oh, man. Hey, well, I'm at the McNichol Sports Arena, and I'm introduced by Bobby Heenan and Johnny Valiant, Jimmy. That was one of my stories. But go ahead. I eventually ended up in Calgary. Oh. Right? So this is how I got to meet Stu. I really never heard about, I'm Winnipeg, and those days, Winnipeg territory was separate, Vancouver was separate, Calgary, Saskatchewan was separate. So we had a show, I got a job at this movie theater. We had a show called Paradise Alley come in. I don't know if you ever saw that. It was Sylvester Stallone,
yep,
and Terry Funk.
Yep.
I think that was about 77, 78.
One of Sly's earlier cool films, yeah, before Rocky.
Yeah, anyway, the manager at the theater, you know, this was before internet or anything like that, and I don't think they even had videos out or anything, but anyway, in those days, that was the late 70s, the manager says, "Bob, let's promote this show, and I know that you had mentioned you were involved with wrestling, so can you call up a guy named Stu Hart?" And I never really I didn't really know much about the Harts. I had no car, and I got on the bus and went out to Stu's house, and he says, "Come on out." I went to his house. I met Stu Hart. I met a couple of his sons, Dean and Smith. And I said, "I got a show called Paradise Alley. Would you guys like to promote it? You know, put some posters up, et cetera, et cetera." Make a long story short, they were really for it. And then I made them a deal. I said, "Listen, if you guys can let my staff into Stampede Wrestling, providing you're not sold out, I'll let your wrestlers into the theater that I'm running, or any of the theaters that I'm running." And that started a long 10-year thing with the Harts. And I remember Stu and Helen coming to the theater. Brett and his girlfriend Davey Boy and his and Diana came. Owen and young Martha came. All the wrestlers came every Sunday night to the Grand Theater and watched the movie for free. And then if any of my staff on a Friday night had the night off, they let them into Stampede Wrestling. So the rest is history, but that's how I got to meet Stu. And I remember one time, you know, we used to go out we used to go out for pizza afterwards, after the matches, and my girlfriend at the time became a good friend of Owen and Martha and Davey Boy and Diana. And, anyway, that's how it kind of went along. And one time they asked me, listen, what night are you off? Why don't you come up to a place called Red Deer and maybe you can drive Brad or any of the boys up. So I used to drive them up every Wednesday, every 2 weeks on a Wednesday. One night, I'm in the van. It used to have two vans, the heel van and the babyface van. Stu was always big on the kayfabe thing. Always protect the business, you know. So I'm in the heel van, and Smith Hart said, "We got a problem here tonight, guys. We have nobody to do the announcing." So he said, well, Bob Johnson, he'd be a great announcer. So that's how I became an announcer. I did that from about 1980 to 84. It was a lot of fun. And then had a big falling out with the Woody and Peters that I worked for. And I went to work. And about 2 days later, Bruce Hart, one of Stu's sons, said, listen, why don't we hire Bob to take care of our spot shows, you know. We were running Calgary Friday, Edmonton Saturday, and then we had 4 or 5 days at that because everybody was getting a guarantee then. So they said, Stu Hart said to me, Bob, we want you to do these spot shows. I had no idea what a spot show was, but so I said, what is my territory? He said, Alberta, Saskatchewan, British Columbia, Northwest Territories, and Montana. That's like about half of North America, you know. So I did that for 5 years and became really, really, really close friends with the Hart family. And Stu and Helen were my absolute dearest friends ever in life, beside my parents. Just wonderful, wonderful people. And I had lots of fun. I did got to appreciate the business. Owen Hart one time told me, he said, you know, I think Bob should stay as an announcer and maybe a referee and set up the shows, you know. And he told me, I'll never forget, he says, you know, Bob's not an athlete like we are. I think he should forget about being a wrestler. So I never actually wrestled. I've done everything else, Scott. So that's how I met Stu Hart. A long story short, that's how I met Stu. And I'm still great friends with the Harts in 2024. I came in many years ago and still great friends with everybody. Brad.
Bob Johnson's our guest here. We're on Icon and Friends here on Blog Talk Radio, and it is 6:18. We have an hour and a half to go here. So, you know, there's one term that you mentioned, kayfabe, and I want to kind of transition a little bit, then we'll go back to talk about Stu. And then Big Swing, if you want to chime and ask a question, go ahead. But, you know, you mentioned kayfabe. Would you say in the wrestling age nowadays, Bob, that kayfabe is dead?
Yeah, I think, let's put it this way. I could never really figure out the modern deal. You know, they got the big companies, WWE and everybody say, you know, it's a big work, it's all scripted, blah blah blah. However, they still try to present it as though it's a shoot. And my philosophy is that the, it doesn't matter. I all the fans I've seen over the years, I've realized one thing with fans. Most of them know it's a work, basically a work, but they want to have you have to suspend the disbelief for part of the show. And as long as you can suspend the disbelief and have them think that some of it might be on the up and up, some of this might be a shoot, that's the whole key. That's my opinion. I think Vince is still... WWE was still pretty good at that deal, even though they tried to sell it as a big sports entertainment and all that. But I don't know. That's how I think about it.
Well, Bob, to jump in on that too, and Icon also to sort of answer, it's weird. Okay, so as you know, I grew up, you know, we started the show, the Monday Night Show called Attitude Era Live, because that's really what I grew up on, the Attitude Era, both from, you know, Monday Night Wars and all that stuff. Back in the day, you get a character like, you know, Stone Cold, let's say. He was, you know, arguably the face of the Attitude Era, whatever. If you saw Stone Cold outside of wrestling, okay, you saw him in the grocery store, you saw him in, at those mall appearances, you saw him here, you saw him there. He was Stone Cold.
You'd probably see him mostly in the bar, though.
Well, true. Well, okay, but my point is he was that persona. What you saw on television is what he was. And now you've got, you know, so that made it real. You're like, wow, this is a guy who, you know, talks with a southern accent, who likes to drink, who's, you know, rough around the edges. He's this, he's that. I mean, obviously the character is like Sting. He's not walking around with the crow makeup outside of work. You know what I mean? But I just think it's more they have access to these people's real lives. So, for example, you'll see them on Raw, right, and then you'll see them on their Instagram or on their TikTok, and they're doing everyday activities. Like Liv Morgan. I get Liv Morgan updates all the time because I think she's attractive, and I like looking at pretty girls. So I'll get Liv Morgan's thing, and you'll see her on air, and she's got the makeup on with the fake tears and the whole, you know, a Harley Quinn ripoff thing like they tried to do with Alexa Bliss, and she has her whole character. And then you see her, and she's got no makeup on with these big aviator glasses, and, hey, guys, it's me, you know, Gianna, whatever her real name is, and we're at the Guy Zone today, or, oh, I'm going to get my nails done, or I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And you see them in their real life, and you see them as who they are as people now more so than ever with social media. And I think that kind of kills kayfabe a little bit, because instead of these characters being larger than life, being, you know, real to you or as real as they could be to you, now it's kind of like watching a TV show. You turn on a TV show and you know, oh, these guys are acting, but it's entertaining for, you know, the half hour or hour that the show lasts, and then it's whatever, you know. These guys are entertaining.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing now. You're watching it as an entertainment, knowing that they've got their real life and they've got this, because they're going to go on TikTok as soon as they get out of the ring and go, hey, guys, fun match, ha, 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 you know what I mean? So it's much different, and I think kayfabe started to get started to lose its luster a bit with social media becoming so big with these guys, because it just doesn't give them the same image anymore.
Yeah. Let me give you a quick example. When I worked for Stu Hart, we had two bands that we traveled in. We had our babyface band and our heel band. And we would never have the guys be seen together. If Stu Hart caught a babyface and a heel, even after the show together, you wouldn't have a job.
And that's sort of what added to making it so much more realistic for the viewer. Whereas now, you know, Roman Reigns and LA Knight, let's give you an example. Roman Reigns and LA Knight just had this big feud going on with the Bloodline and all this. And, you know, who knows? They might be on TikTok having a beer together after the show and it's all Gucci. You know, you never know. So it's just one of those things where social media and the availability of the everyday life of these superstars and the want and need for people to see the everyday life of these superstars has really made what they do a little bit less real feeling, I guess, is the best way to put it. It makes it,
you know,
it's more of a TV show than it is a reality.
Oh, exactly.
You know, another good example of that, look back in, I don't know, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were in a big feud against each other, right? They turned their backs on each other, right? Kevin Owens turned on Sami Zayn. Then 2 weeks later, they're showing on Twitter they're at each other's wedding. So that kind of ruined the whole deal.
Exactly. And back in the day, they were so so committed to keeping these characters and these feuds and these rivalries as real feeling as possible that, you know, back in the, let's say these guys, let's say you put them in a time capsule, you drop them back to 1996, 97, 98, they would have been like, hey man, I'm sorry, but I can't go to your wedding. I can't be seen at your wedding. It's a feud. You know, we can't do this. We have a job to do. And WWE would have been like, no, you guys can't go together. I mean, you know, and they would have. Now it's like, oh yeah, hey, basically social media has made this a 9-to-5 for them. That's just my job. I'm just going to work. I punch in, and then this is me every other time. And it kind of loses its luster in that regard. It started to be why I stopped watching it, because, you know, I'll get an update on my phone, so-and-so wins the belt, and then I'll get an update on my phone, that same so-and-so is, you know, look at, I got my nails done, or, oh, look, I got a new T-shirt, or, oh, I got, I'm like, bro, you know, if you're a jerk on TV, I want you to be a jerk all the time. You know what I mean? I don't want you to be the nicest guy on the planet and then be a jerk on TV, you know what I mean? So I want a little bit more continuity.
You know, another good example of that was the when they had that TV show about the divas. You know, all these divas are supposed to be against each other.
Oh, yeah, total divas.
But they're going on vacations.
I think that was the beginning of all this.
Yeah, they're going on vacations together, you know. and, like, you know, Lana was supposed to be this Russian gal, and she's supposed to be like a communist speaking nothing but Russian. Then she's on this diva show. She's speaking English, no accent. And she's, the only thing that didn't really change is she was hated by the divas too, but she was on the show, you know? So, yeah, so that brings me to the point, Bob. Kayfabe is dead.
I'll give you guys a good example. After Stu Hart shut the Stampede Wrestling down and retired in 1990, I went back to Winnipeg for about 3 years. So I'm at work one night and, I was staying with my mom for a couple of months, and my mom says, Bob, I got a call from a guy named Owen Hart. He wants you to give him a call. I said, what the hell would Owen Hart be calling me? How did he get my number? Anyway, make a long story short, WWE were wrestling in Winnipeg at the arena, and I phoned him up. He said, Bob, it's Owen. I called him Omar. He said, Omar, where are you? He said, I'm at the airport airliner hotel in Winnipeg here, and we're wrestling tonight. Do you want to drive over and give me a ride to the building? I said, hey, anything for you, man. So I picked him up, take him to the arena. He did his thing, and that's when he was a heel, right, at the time. Anyway, he walks in the Winnipeg arena. He had a towel over his head. I walk in with him. He walks right by everybody. And then at the end of the show, he says, Bob, the guy who's the promoter here, the local guy, owns a restaurant called the Pony Corral. And he's invited a bunch of the guys to go to his restaurant to have dinner. So, hey, no problem. So I leave my car at the arena. The guy picks me up and he says, I've got a few other guys coming. So in the guy's car, Davey Boy, Owen, me, you're never going to believe the other guy, Shawn Michaels, and the guy driving. We drive to the guys, and Davey Boy was the baby face. We drive to the Pony Corral. We have to go to the back, and he says, Davey, you get out. So Davey got out and joined the Undertaker in one corner. Shawn Michaels and Owen, they went on another side of the restaurant. Totally in character, obnoxious, and I had such a good time. What a laugh. I'm eating supper with Shawn Michaels and all these guys, half of them were cut, and they're trying to get a conversation with Shawn Michaels, who was super evil, arrogant, you know. So I'll never forget that time, and Owen, don't talk to me, you know, and I'm trying to have my supper and all this stuff, and I'll never forget that as long as I live. But that was the true kayfabe days, you know. And
Bob, we have a caller that would like to chime in and ask you a question. 717 area code. Go ahead. You're on with Bob Johnson. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Bob Johnson? I was talking about kayfabe. I'm Luke DeMuse, a big fan. Everything in the industry. I just it always fascinated me. But with the curtain call, do you think that was like a turning point for kayfabe? With the whole how the dynamics of the whole industry changed. Almost it seemed like after that event,
I think unfortunately social media didn't help things. But again, I was always questioned. Vince and company would always come out and say, it's a work. It's all scripted, all this stuff. Yet they would try to portray the matches as a shoot. And then I question, if the fans knew that, why would they even go to the stupid wrestling? So I think Vince and company and even the other promotions, I think they're pretty good at doing the still, to some way, trying to do kayfabe. I could give you guys a separate story, a separate show just on the ribs.
Go ahead.
Let's hear them.
been involved with so many ribs.
So how many times did you get ribbed by Owen?
It's funny. Owen and I really hit it off. Owen and I never. He didn't rib me much, but he used to. I remember one time, he used to call Stu up, and he got on the phone, and he would ask for Stu's wife Helen, and he would say, "This is Stu. This is Stu. Hi, honey, everything." But he was a good river in that sense that it was not malicious stuff. It was just all good stuff.
Were you familiar with the story when Owen Hart called Stu and acted like he was Reg Park?
Oh yeah, that was hilarious. It's funny I knew Reg really well, and I remember telling Reg about that, and Reg, I don't think he really understood what I was talking about, but he was on our Heartbeat Radio show one time, and he was telling us, or Bruce had brought up that story, and I mean, old Reg, he was quite confused at the time. That was a good story, but I think he almost took it, not wrong, but that was a good story.
Yeah, I had heard that Stu had yelled at Owen as Reg Park, and I guess Stu said, "Well, Reg, if you wanted to try me, why didn't you try me?"
Oh yeah. We're down at this place. I guess they're down at this place called the Cauliflower Alley Club or something, and they're in the lobby, and Big Reg was just kind of, he worked up here, kind of a humble, big, humble, nice guy. And Stu, after this thing, he apparently walked up to, "So you got a problem with me? I treated you pretty good up in Calgary. What's your problem with me?" And supposedly, Reggie didn't know what are you talking about? And he says, "What are those comments I heard about?" Poor Reggie had no idea. And then he says, "Give me a listen. I'm here. Listen, give me your best shot. If you're mad at me, you never had a chance in Calgary. You want to have it down here at the Cauliflower Alley Club." So that was funny.
Well, I'll tell you what, Luke. If you want to stick around, we can ask an interesting point here. Bob's going to be on with us for another 15 minutes here. We wanted to have him talk about the past and the present of wrestling. We agreed that we weren't going to talk about the scandal with him. You, me, and Big Swing can talk about that. But let me ask you this, Bob. We have Bob Johnson, I guess, here on Icon and Friends here on Blog Talk Radio. One thing I do want to ask you, Reg, I'm sorry, Reg, Bob, with the fact that And we're not talking about that. We're not talking about the scandal, of course. But now that Vince McMahon is done with wrestling, and I guess The Rock is now involved as the top guy, do you think wrestling in the WWE will survive without a McMahon at the helm or involved in any way?
I think it'll go on. I think it's going to be quite a bit different. I heard the guy who owns that is it TK? I'm not really up on that, but
TKO.
Yeah, he's not. I heard he's not a big wrestling fan. He doesn't even like wrestling. That's what I heard. But I think might happen.
Yeah, he's an MMA guy.
Yeah, I think what might happen. I think eventually they'll probably. You probably won't see a lot of WWE people, period, in the new company. I can easily see a guy like Hunter and all that crew no longer involved.
Hunter's out too, right? I heard. But is Bruce Pritchard still sticking around, or does anybody know of any?
I think he'll probably. I'm sure he'll be out of it. The thing, maybe a few of the other guys. I don't think they'll have anything to do with the. The WWE, it's going to be pretty tough on the network every time. I don't know how many times I watched the network and they have that thing where, I was watching one the other night where they had, when Austin sprayed the milk at Vince and all that. But all the vignettes, I don't know if they had to edit all that out or, I guess there's no mention of Vince now.
The way I understand it is, like Brock Lesnar has been raised from the WWE, and Vince McMahon will not be erased from the memory of the WWE, but going forward, I guess they're not even able to mention his name.
I kind of can't erase Vince McMahon. I mean, you can give Brock Lesnar the Chris Benoit treatment, all you want. I mean, you can take Brock Lesnar off of everything and whatnot. But, first of all, video production through all of the old episodes and all that is really difficult to edit that out and make it look clean. I mean, it's going to take a while to go on and do a lot of that. But with Vince McMahon, that's almost like, giving an example here. Let's say Vince Lombardi had something like this back in the day, and all of a sudden it's like, well, you can't, can't call it the Vince Lombardi Trophy anymore, and you can't show old Packers highlights, and you can't. It's like the dude made football what it is. Vince McMahon made wrestling what it is. There's no way you can actually – and his storylines being such an integral part from, 96 through just as early as a year or two ago. You just cannot do it without
– They can try to erase him, but they can never fully erase him. I mean, I can always whip out my 64 and play No Mercy,
Yeah.
It kicked down the doors, I guess.
Always,
I don't know.
Always gonna be there. He's always going to be there. It's one of those things where an icon. I do gotta pop off for a second here because I'm walking into work. But I saw everything you were saying all week about, well, Triple H should be fired. They should fire him. They should kick him out because just because he didn't really have a solid answer.
It's absurd. This cancel culture. It's crazy.
But icon all week has been like, they should fire Triple H. I mean, he hasn't liked Triple H since the beginning. But the thing is that you can't really fire a Triple H. Well, and even if you do, who's going to fire Triple H? Because
they're
going to
start
doing that,
it's scary the direction that it's going to go if that's the case. Because,
He mentioned cancel culture. He mentioned cancel culture, and it's funny because I look through my Facebook, I look through Instagram, I look through all this, and they're saying, oh, well, I'm not watching WWE anymore, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not, and they're dead to me. Wrestling's dead. And I'm sitting there like, okay, well, first of all, you said this about the kneeling for the anthem in football, and the NFL just had their highest grossing and viewership year ever. So obviously that didn't work. That didn't happen. But also, these people are like, oh, well, I'm just done with wrestling and I'm just whatever. No, you're not. I mean, think about it. I know I've used football a couple of times here as an example. But if this scandal wasn't Vince McMahon, if this scandal was Roger Goodell, okay, or one of the NFL owners, okay, are people going to stop watching the NFL? No.
Look, there was pro wrestling before Vince McMahon, and there will be afterwards,
well,
you know.
Well, let me ask you this. We'll cover my thoughts on Triple H in the second hour. We got about 10 minutes here left with Bob. Bob, let me ask you this. Did you, in your day, ever get to meet Vince McMahon?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I actually met Vince McMahon 3 times in my life. I met him. They had a big show at the Saddle Dome, 20,000 people. And actually what happened, I was out in Saskatchewan setting up some shows, and the announcer, a guy named Billy Red Lyons from Toronto, had laryngitis, so they had no announcer. So the cops stopped me on the highway halfway to Saskatoon. Please call Mr. Hart and all that, and there's no cell phones in those days. So I called Stu. He said, Bob, he says, we've got a problem. Ed Whalen, he's on holidays, and we have 20,000 people at the Saddle Dome tonight. We have nobody to announce the show. So I ended up driving back. I announced in front of 20,000 people.
Wow.
First guy I meet is a guy named Jay Strongbow. Bob, come on in. Jay says to me, do you want the finishes? I said, I don't want the finishes. Just give me the matches. Forget it. I've been doing this a long time. I don't need the finishes. Anyway, you sure you don't need the finishes? I said, no. Jay, just let me call a match the way I see it. So I did that. I also met Vince at that show. He was at that show. So that's the second time I met him, and I got my photo with him. Seemed to be a really nice guy.
What?
When I after the show was over, I walk out and Jay Strongbow, Bob, sign here. I said, what's that for? $150. I said, hey. So I can actually officially say on TV, on the radio that I have actually worked for WWE in my life. There's only one. And I got $150 out of the deal. And I've met Vince for the second time.
Did you make a copy of the check and put it on your mantle and say, hey, this is why I worked with the WWF?
Oh, I wish I did. I never actually, I don't know what happened to the receipt that I signed, but it's funny, a couple of years later, I was out in Vancouver, and I bumped into my old friend Mick Foley. And then right behind Mick Foley was Vince. He says, I met you. He even remembered. I said, Vince. He said, I don't know if you remember me. He said, I think I met you at Stu Hart's house. So, you know, he seemed like he had a lot of charm, seemed like a nice guy. I had no beef with Vince.
You think, is he 6'3"? Is he like 6'3"?
No,
three?
He's not.
I always wondered that.
I don't think he's 6'3". I think he's... I was 6'1", and I'm now 5'10 and a half because I shrunk apparently in the last 2 years.
Pro wrestling,
I think he's maybe six. Like I don't Hogan. I met Hogan a couple of times. There's no way he was 6'8". I know that.
Yeah.
Same with Hunter. He was probably 6'1" at the most. Hunter, you know. But I'll tell you one of these days, maybe another show. I'll tell you a good Hunter story. I know Scott knows about that story.
I'll tell you what, we definitely want to have you on again if you'd be willing to join us. One thing I do want to say, Bob, our show on Monday nights on 89.1 Ken's FM Attitude Era Monday Live Monday, every Monday night from 9 to 11 p.m. I will say, Bob, one thing is you have helped us get every single member of the Hart family on our show, with the exception of Bret Hart, which eventually one day I would like to get him on our show. But you helped us get Diana. You helped us get Bruce. You helped us get Ross. You helped us get their kids. We've had Julie Hart on with us. And you helped us get all those. And we will always, and you know, you also had us, you also had us set up to get Smith Hart on, but unfortunately he had passed away a week before you're supposed to be on with us.
Yeah.
And That still breaks me up every time I think about that. But you helped us get hooked up to the Hart Clan, and we will always be in forever debt to you for everything that you helped our show to help us build it to what it is today.
Well,
oh,
no,
yes,
I had
a funding commercials, and we've had all the Hart Con. It's been great.
Yeah, Bruce Hart and I had a show on a dare, more or less, on Blog Talk Radio, and we called it Heartbeat Radio. And we did 350 shows over six or seven years. And then finally we just stopped doing it. But we might do it again. But I know your show was always one of the popular shows that I talked to you so many times. And, I'm still a podcaster. In fact, I'm going down to St. Louis. A good friend of mine, his name is Herb Simmons. He's got a thing called Southern Illinois Championship Wrestling in St. Louis. Every May, he runs a Bruiser Brody weekend. And he has Barbara Goodish, Frank's wife down there. But last year, he had a fan fest. And so I took Ross and a couple more friends of mine. We went down to St. Louis. And so we're going back this May. And Herb says
is it an annual thing?
Yes. In the middle of May. Annual now. Oh. So anyway, it's a big fan fest. They got about this year. I was able to get them. We have Abby Abdullah, Dr. D, Boogie Woogie Man, the Gold Girls, the Rock and Roll Express. A ton of guys. But anyway, Herb called me up the other day and he says, "Bob, is Heartbeat Radio still running?" I said, "Well, not officially, but we're gonna have a Facebook Live edition of Heartbeat Radio in St. Louis. So that'll be in May 14th, 15th. So that'll be
how do you get an invite? Where do I get an invite for that one?
Yeah, so you guys,
I'd love to go.
We'll have to have you call in and talk. I think Bruce is going to be coming down. Ross will be at that deal. And
we would definitely love to call in for that. You mentioned how many shows that you had over 7 years. Big Swing, how long have you and I been doing this together now? It was the first time we ever did a show in Pennsylvania where Cedric Man came out on the motorcycle in that leather outfit. Which WrestleMania
was that? 20, that was 14 or 15, I think. So, I mean, it's probably going on 10 years. What the show has become obviously is different than what the show started as. It started as sort of what we're doing now, which was going on and talking about wrestling and talking about things that are going on or storylines or angles or scandals or whatever and giving our take on it. Now it has sort of evolved into more of a interview show where we talk to, anyone from, we've had multiple, WWE and WCW stars on, both retired, not current because I don't allow it, but retired, and a lot of indie wrestlers and stuff, as well as other celebrities and stuff. Icon's been very good with reaching out and booking, various different types of celebrities and things. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't have my computer in front of me at the moment to check, but I'm pretty sure that was like the 14 or 15 Mania. So it's pretty good.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's our history. We did 250 shows as Off the Ropes. That's how we started as.
Okay.
And then we found out that there was someone else using that, and they wanted to, let's just say they wanted to litigate us for using that. So we changed it to Attitude Era Monday Live Monday, and we've done 349 shows of that. So we have done a total of 550 shows since we started.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, it's been up there for sure. And, I can't even tell you the names of Hall of Famers and things, all of them that we've had on from, you know, I kind of never ceases to surprise me. Like, sometimes he'll call me and be like, hey, I have so-and-so on. And, you know, I work in sports radio up in New York. So, you know, right now I'm kind of in a lull. But usually I have football or I have baseball or a basketball thing that I'm covering for whatever. So I don't usually pop on and talk to everybody. But every once in a while he'll call me up or he'll text me and be like, hey, we got, you know, Diamond Dallas Page coming on. Or we've got Ken Shamrock or – you know, one of the
Legion
members. Tito Santana
Tito
was
Santana.
On Gilbert, and I'm like, I'm calling out of work tonight. I'm not missing this one. You know, we had in fact, for those who don't know, we started off the show. Inaugural broadcast, like first one ever on the show, talking to Buff Bagwell, Buff the Stuff. So, I mean, that's how we kicked things off. So, yeah, that was pretty cool.
You know, and here's the other thing that's interesting about our show. You know, when I remember when I told you that we were going to have who is your hero?
Wow.
Well, we were going to have Big Swing's hero on with us, and we're not going to mention the name, but unfortunately, he had re-signed with the WWE, so he had to cancel. But he did get us in replacement. He got us his old girlfriend, Vicky Guerrero, as a guest on our show to replace him.
Nice. Awesome.
And I remember Vicky Guerrero, the first thing she said when she came on after I introduced her, she says, excuse me! Excuse me!
I know your show has been people, I talk to guys at Cauliflower Alley and Waterloo and so many people tell me about your show. It's infamous, let's put it that way. And it's been going on a long time. You guys do a hell of a job. We've been doing Heartbeat Radio on Facebook Live. Like I'll go down to the Cauliflower Alley Club and I'll do Facebook Live on Heartbeat Radio. Remember, I was at the Waterloo, Iowa a few years ago. I had met Adam Pearce at the Cauliflower Alley Club, and he had just started with the WWE. And so I went up and I said, Bob Johnson, Heartbeat Radio here on Facebook Live, my special guest from the WWE. And then got to edit that out. Anyway, Adam Pearce, but we'll still do one, you know. As long as we've got Facebook Live,
I
was just saying, I'm walking into work real quick. So just give me a minute to get settled and get in front of a microphone and all that stuff, and I'll call back in. But I want to ask you, just because I was thinking about it, I know it's a little bit off topic, but before we started doing this show, I knew he was from North Dakota. I flew from New York to North Dakota to go to the Bob Footage, the Maui Madness tournament out there.
March,
you know, and they had Mick Foley and Billy Gunn. March Madness, yeah. No, not Maui, yeah. And so they had, you know, Billy Gunn was out there and Mick Foley and all those guys who showed up and whatnot. And I remember, Icon, it was mid to late March. And, you know, I'm 6 feet tall. I still had snow up to my knees. And I was just thinking, do you guys have a lot of snow?
No, there was snow up to your ass is what it was.
Well, pretty much. Well, Icon, the only reason I bring it up is because I'm driving into work right now, and I remember saying to myself earlier, it's early February in upstate New York, and it was like 47 degrees today, and we don't have a lick of snow, and here it is in February. So I was just wondering if you guys are – going through a warm spell as well, or if you're still buried under the white powder up there?
Right here in Fargo, North Dakota, where we have four seasons, winter, flood, road construction, and football, it's 44 degrees, and there is no snow anywhere to be seen.
That is wild, man. Global warming, man. Global warming at its finest, I'll tell you. Man.
About 3 weeks ago, I went down to see my brother who owns a condo in Boca Raton, Florida. And he said, come on down. And I left Calgary. It was minus 25 Fahrenheit. And then I came back and it was 50 above last week. And then this weekend, big snowstorm on the weekend. And then it's going to get warm again. That's we're kind of like the – but I got – interesting, in North Dakota, I look on the temperature in Winnipeg today, it's 35 above. It's usually like 35 below in Winnipeg this time of year. But
yeah.
Wow.
You know, the one thing is – Fargo, North Dakota, we have a big rivalry with Winnipeg, and that would be the Winnipeg Goldeyes when they come down and play the Fargo Moorhead Redhawks. And those two teams hate each other. There is no mid-ground. Those teams hate each other, and the Winnipeg Goldeye fans hate me. I have Epcot heat with that entire town. For some reason, I do.
I supported the Goldeyes. They used to be the farm system for the Cardinals, you know. Fargo had a. They had the what they called the
FM Twins, the FM Twins at the time.
Yeah, and but
we have the Red Hawks now, but they were the FM Twins Red back Hawks, then.
Yeah. Interesting you mentioned about, I don't know how close you guys are to, I was talking to my old friend Brett on the weekend, and there's a guy, a friend of mine, Fred Yankee, he lives in Minneapolis, he's got a promotion called Midwest All-Star Wrestling, they're running a big show at the casino, it's about 150 miles, I can't remember where it is, it's up in near Wisconsin or something, but they're bringing Greg Gagne and Brett told me he's going up there and having a big show, so I don't know how far that is from Fargo, but it looks like a good time. So.
Well, yeah, Bob Johnson, our guest here in 89.5, Bob Johnson, our guest here on Icon and Friends here on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, Bob, I'll tell you what, I know that we said we were only going to have you on for an hour, and we do appreciate it. And hopefully, you know, I know that you're going on a big vacation, but hopefully you'd be willing to join us again on this program and maybe come back on Attitude Era Monday Live Monday, and we can have some more fun with you.
Sounds good. Let me tell you a quick story about talking much on Blog Talk Radio. A few years ago, I had probably the biggest hero I ever had in wrestling was a guy named Don Leo Jonathan. And I met him when I was about 12 years old, and I became really good friends with him when he retired in Vancouver. So I saw him at the Cauliflower Alley Club, and I said, Don Leo, would you like to come on to Hard B Radio sometime? So you talk kind of close. I had him on, so here we go. I said, wrestling fans, our special guest today, Bruce and I, have Don Leo. So Don Leo says, he's talking very slow. He says, how long do you want me to talk? And I said, hey, 10 minutes, 15, half an hour. Can you go half an hour? Yeah, sure. Half an hour come along, right? And then I said, can you stay on a little longer? Oh, sure. So anyway, long story short, Blog Talk used to have this extra hour. I don't know if they still have it. It turned out he was on for 3 hours. And then we brought him, asked him if he'd come back the next week. And he says, but I promise you I won't talk as long. So he came back the next week, and he says, I promise all your fans I don't want to put them to sleep. I'll only talk for 15 minutes. 3 hours later.
That's great.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob, we're going to get into the one subject that I know that is pretty touchy. I know that you didn't want to cover with us, and we understand that. But we love you, Bob, and you are a great friend, and you have been a friend since I first got your number. And one thing I do want to thank you for real quick here is with your help, I'm good friends, and I have a great friendship with Barbara Goodish, who, of course, is Brody's widow. And you hooked me up with her, and she and I have been friends ever since, and I do appreciate you, Bob. Thank you.
It's interesting. I'll let you guys continue, but I've had I'm so grateful every day that I've got to meet so many guys. I talked to my old friend Stan Hansen the other day. I went to ask him about something, and we were on the phone for an hour and a half. And then the week before, I phoned my friend Darren. We talked for about an hour, and then talked to Mick Foley. I'm always talking to these old guys, you know, and I could talk wrestling anytime. But I'd like to come back. I've got some really good stories you guys might want to hear about.
Love to hear these stories.
I'll tell you what we're gonna do. I will book you on the next time we do this show, and we will have you on with us, and we'll do Icons and Friends, and we'll do wrestling stories. We'll have you tell us. I don't know how long you'll be able to stay on with us. You could probably go through your booking diary with the pocket calculator and say, boy, I should tell him this one. I should tell him this one. I'll get two different to talk about this one. I'll tell them this one. That one's kind of boring. This is exciting. I mean, I want you to do that, and then we'll have you back on. We'll talk about that.
Sure. Well, I've got some good stories of good Bobby Heenan rib that he pulled on me. I can tell that's a classic one. I've got a couple of Brian Pillman. Bruce Hart loved to rib Brian Pillman. We had another guy called Bill Kazmaier. Got some classic ribs with him. I've got some really good ones. I had one. We had a guy, when we shut down Stampede, we had a guy who was our number one heel, a guy called Mike Shaw. We called him Mock and Sing. He was our number one heel. When he left, he became Bastion Booger, and I don't even want to get into that. That he just destroyed it. But that was Bastion Booger after he left us. But one time we were doing a promoting a show out in the interior of British Columbia. So there was this radio show called the CBC Radio. It's like PBS, you know. And the guy says, since you guys are promoting a show for the Boys and Girls Club, I'll have you on for 2 minutes. Call in at 9:02. In the morning, so I brought him down. Mike came on for 2 minutes. Make a long story short, he says, we have to leave at 9 o'clock. We have a special announcement to make. Make a long story short, Mike stayed on till noon. We found out later that they were supposed to have the Prime Minister of Canada come on to announce a $100 million economic development for that town. So they taped us and played it in the afternoon. And so Mock and Sing, and every time we went to Vernon and Kelowna, this guy would phone me up, can you bring him on? We love that guy. So he was a regular. That's a story, too. The Prime Minister of Canada got snubbed by Mock and Sing of Stampede Wrestling.
Oh, man.
And
One final thing. As Bruce Hart used to always tell me, wrestling comes right down to all wrestling is just a big rib anyway. Okay, I'll leave it at
right.
that. Let you guys think about that.
One quick thing here, Bob. If you can call in to our show, Attitude Era Monday Live Monday on April 1st, we're going to have Bobby Heenan's daughter on with us.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can tell you that story.
That's going to be a big show.
Yeah, I'll try to get I'm going to Japan in the first week of April, but I should be able to get on there. Remind me. I'd love to be on there with that girl.
All right.
Awesome.
I'll let everybody know here on Icon and Friends that April 1st is going to be a big show. Here's going to be the guest for that show. We're going to have Al Pacino's stepmom. We're going to have James Gandolfini's son on with us.
Oh,
and we're
going to
have Bobby's son with us. April 1st is going to be a big show for Attitude Era Monday Live Monday.
Yeah, I'll make sure I don't have to go. I'll put Japan off for a week if I have to. If you want me to come on, I'll
right.
come on.
Well, yeah, and then you can call in from anywhere. That's no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can
right,
I,
what was it like being in front of
20,000? Can I still? I can still listen to the end of the show, though, eh?
Oh, of course. Okay. Well, yeah. If you want to, do you want to stay up older?
Yeah, I'll just put me. I won't say anything, but I like to hear your opinions on that current issue.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah,
simply
this way. And then we'll come back to you at the end. No problem.
Yeah, again, if you need any more, I've got a ton of guys who still – I've got guys always calling me.
So make sure you tell them that. But yeah.
Yeah, if any more guys, Scott, get hold of me. I can – I've got a plug for Cauliflower in Waterloo. I've been going there for 25 years to the Cauliflower Alley Club. And I know so many guys – if you need more guys on your show, just let me know.
Nice.
Well, you know, there's one guy I would like to get, Magnum TA.
I can get him. I know
wow.
Magnum. He'd love to come on.
Oh, man.
Sure, I'll get him on. Sure,
we can even get him on this show. And, I want to ask him because Baron Von Grashy was always in character even when he left the ring. I want to ask him if Baron Von Grashy, how would you say, Magnum TA?
How about any status on the Honky Tonk Man? Is that going to be a thing? Or... No, Icon loves Honky Tonk.
Let me tell you about the Honky Tonk Man. I'm going to tell this real quick here.
We don't have a whole bunch of time, so don't be too long-winded.
All right, and then we'll get into our topic. The Honky Tonk Man is an a-hole, okay? I wrote him a message when he says, "I'm not doing Mama Basement Radio." And I'm like, "Okay, you're not doing Mama Basement Radio, and the Ultimate Warrior beats you in 27 seconds."
It's different, though. You got to be a little bit wittier on the air, though, or when these guys tell you that. Be like, well, you were okay doing Mama's Basement Wrestling for 30-plus years because, I mean, what did you ever win? I mean, what did you ever do except for win an Intercontinental? You won the Intercontinental title, so you were basically second place for however many weeks, you know what I mean? So it's just it's one of those things. And guys, I know we don't have a whole bunch of time left here because we only had a 90-minute show planned today, but if anybody is interested – and if you ever feel like reading a novel, okay, text the Icon or send a Facebook message to the Icon and ask him his thoughts on his interaction with Stevie Ray, and we'll go from there. But anyway, Icon, let's talk a little bit about the topic here today.
Yeah, next time you have me on, I'll tell you a good honky-tonk story, too. I've got a really good story to tell you about him. His wife is from here.
Oh, nice.
Definitely. And last thing about the Honky Tonk Man, I told him, I said, you know what, Mr. Honky Tonk, you're so old, Elvis stole your gimmick. And then he hung up on me. Anyway, just going to talk about the topic here. I guess we've got about 22 minutes here. You guys had a chance to read the stuff going on with Vince and all the sex trafficking and all this stuff. It is so bad. There is no returning for Vince McMahon. Have you guys heard any of the stuff or read on any of it?
I mean, all you got to do is do a Google search, and you could read it for yourself. A lot of it, I don't think we could or should or at liberty to really get into the intricate, disgusting details of a lot of, you know, the messages that have been released and the things that have happened. I do apologize. I have music on in the background. I'm in the sports studio, but they're playing music right across the way at the FM station. So just if you hear that in the background, my apologies. But I don't think we're at liberty to get into a lot of that, and we don't need to. Just do a Google Vince McMahon, and you'll have pages full of it. But Icon, I wanted to really get your take on it, because all week long you were like, you know, fire Triple H and get rid of this guy and get rid of that guy. And I need to know, other than you not being a fan of character, what your beef really was with him, especially since he really had nothing to do with this.
Well, here's the deal, though. Everybody knows that Triple H is married to Stephanie McMahon, Vince McMahon's daughter. And Triple H, Paul Levesque, we'll call him, because that's his name. He's the CEO, COO of the company. Now, you cannot tell me that he did not know what was going on, and you can't tell me that he never had any interaction with this gal because she was an employee.
He very well may have had interaction. Of course, he probably saw her around the office. She was an office intern. But honestly, this doesn't sound like something that Vince was sharing with people other than those that were in his circle of debauchery. Like, you know, based on everything I've heard from the story, it wasn't Vince McMahon going, "Hey, Hunter, you want to get it on this piece of ass?" Like, no, he never really told him about it. Like, I think it was one of those things where Triple H found out the same way we all found out, and he did his diplomatic duty to not deal with it on camera. I mean, you know, as much as there's a fallout going on with social media and with the company and with this and that, if Triple H went on and all he wanted to talk about was field questions about what happened with his father-in-law and this and that, he wouldn't get any news done. He went on, he did the right thing, the best thing for business, talked about the pay-per-view, talked about WrestleMania, talked about the company moving forward. I mean, their household, yes, it's probably a nightmare right now. Stephanie's probably upset. Shane's probably really upset. You know, Triple H probably is not happy about it, but you can't, you know, until something comes out where this girl and her lawyer and anybody else, all the other females now that are coming out and speaking out about it, until his name is dragged through the mud and said, "Oh, yeah, Triple H was involved in this, too. Triple H did this to me, too. Triple H did that to me, too." You really can't indict him on anything. Just because he's related to the man doesn't mean that, like, if my father were to commit this stuff in secret and do these things, would you indict me for something that he did if I didn't know about it? You can't do that.
The nature of their relationship, though.
Right.
I mean,
Let me say this, Luke, and let you get your point.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay.
Yeah.
When Vince McMahon stepped away and was going to come back, Triple H, Nick Khan, and Stephanie McMahon were the three heads, the three top-ranking officials in the WWE. They all voted not to let Vince return. And he used his power and his vote to bring him back in.
Yeah, I think that they voted not to have him return because he's old and he's losing his mental faculties, and they wanted to go a different direction with the business, and he wanted to stay a certain way with the business. As far as anybody knows, that was a business decision, not a personal one. As far as anybody knows, anyway.
Right. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Here's what I think is going to happen. There is going to be, from what I understand, there's probably going to be some divorces coming out of this, okay?
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Look who's been named in this thing. Brock Lesnar, very, very disabled, okay? Rena Mero. John Laurinaitis, known to the Bella Twins' mother. He's involved in this, okay? Now, it's true, and right now, I'm not taking anybody's side right now, because we don't know. We don't have the right to say, okay, Vince McMahon's guilty, and this gal's telling the truth, and Vince McMahon's lying, or she's lying, and Vince McMahon's telling the truth. We can't say that. That's not our position here.
No.
If you're married to Sable, why do you feel the need to go get a side piece? I mean that's crazy.
Right.
People are crazy.
I can tell you guys this real quick. I actually met Sable. She was in Fergus Falls for her daughter's volleyball game. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
And who she was. guess what? The icon knew who she was. So I casually went over to her and had her sign my program. Okay? And I said, to meet you, and then I walked away and left. I didn't want to make a scene, right?
She must have been drop-dead gorgeous in real life.
Oh, my God. Very, very.
Well, depends. Depends on what year, Icon. Depends on what year this was. Because
I think nobody's
going to look good with age. Nobody's going to look
good. She looks good now to me.
If this was 1996, then maybe Icon might have, you know, been pitching a tent in his pants. But if this was like 2 years, but if this was like 2 years ago, then maybe not so much. So I don't know.
Here's
the thing. You know, Brock Lesnar and Sable's daughter looks a lot like Brock.
Wow. Hopefully she'll get a little more stable as she goes on.
I'm not saying anything disparaging here. Don't take this the wrong way, but it's the reverse Steve Tyler effect.
Wow.
Anyway, with all the stuff coming out with Vince McMahon and everything, I'm going to ask you guys this, and you guys can both put in your 2 cents on this. One, do you think Vince McMahon is ever going to be able to come back? Yes or no? And if it's yes, let me know why. Because no is obvious. So what do you think, Luke? Is he able to come back ever? Yes or no?
No, I mean, I don't think – I think that just the expedience in which he quit, resigned says a lot in volumes about how bad it really, you know, was coming. Like, I mean, he jumped out of the way of that freight train, I mean, as much as he could. And that's currently going on, and we don't even know the end of this train, you know? Like, I mean, it's just starting, you know, really. So I don't think that he will ever come back in the capacity of any kind of leadership. I mean, but it's sad because it's a, you know, I mean, it's a memorial, and I think the whole industry is, unfortunately, it's now without the, I mean, this, since you said it earlier, it's not just Vince. It's a whole domino effect that's going on right now. You know, the branches are falling out of the, you know, and it's going to restructure the whole face of the industry, in my opinion. I mean, we hope that someone that knows what they're doing gets at the helm. And if there's anyone that's not affected by this, that is, you know, in a favorable light. Like, I mean, who would you even consider to run that helm right now? Now it's not just WWE, it's TKO, right? It's UFC, WWE, it's a whole different ballgame. You know,
right now The Rock is ahead of everything.
And is that good? Is that bad? I mean, what do you? I mean, it's like
I think that they needed to reach out to a figure that has a pretty good public opinion. That I mean,
The Rock is the best choice possibly. I mean, when you think about it, he's like you know, ruling the industry. He's the number one paid actor. I mean, come on, like, yeah, if anybody, that's the best choice. And just, you know, but it's just like without McMahon, yeah, I don't, you know, it's going to be a whole different, like hopefully the Rock doesn't make it a bumper sticker wrestling, you know, like, I don't know. Hopefully it still has depth, you know.
I don't think he's going to wrestle much anymore, other than his match against Roman.
No, yeah.
You know,
I mean, him rolling
the
wheel.
The seeds were laid for this 2 years ago, but, you know, yeah. When I heard about The Rock being a board member, I thought it was a bit of a head-scratcher simply because, you know, it almost seemed like it was grasping at straws. Like, I mean, you know, you make The Rock a board member and executive in the company now after all of this.
It is kind of like putting up a nice sign.
Yeah, like arguably your biggest star ever. And if this was something that he was interested in, why not make this move years ago? And maybe wrestling wouldn't have went through that. You know,
how's Heyman affected by this? Because where's Heyman at?
Well, Heyman's working with.
I mean, it seems like an opportunity for him. Like, yeah, well, why isn't he jumping? Like, and, you know, it's Paul Heyman. You would expect him to take some kind of leadership.
Well, I think Heyman's got a good gig going on right now as sort of the title holder and mouthpiece for.
You think that'll be enough for him? You think he'll be able to hold on to just that much?
Because
months, him looking at the Rock rolling things, you know, he's got to be thinking.
Paul Heyman is if I'm Paul Heyman, I'm thinking, yeah, it's good enough because every time they give him a position, they take it away from him. So,
I think Paul Heyman, he's a guy that never, I mean, you see, Paul Heyman, you know, he did like the Studio 54 and he got, you know, even the wrestlers in there. And he seems like the kind of guy that has never has enough, you know, like, I mean, in a good way, you know, as far as a business, you know, like he was always climbing. I don't think he can just sit and just watch this kind of thing go on without trying to climb somewhere. You know, that's just my opinion. I mean, like, I think we're going to see him do something with this.
Let me mention this. Here's what I'm going to put a prediction out right now.
I got about 10 minutes.
I'm going to put a prediction out here. 7:20 p.m. on February 7th, 2024. Here's what's going to happen. Triple H will be ousted from the company. That's one. Bruce Pritchard will be ousted from the company. That's two.
Wow. Yeah.
Vince McMahon and Linda McMahon, you'll see a divorce proceeding.
Wow.
Well, that's a given.
His wife, you'll probably see a divorce proceeding there. Vince McMahon, if you're going to go through court on this, he's probably going to pay himself to make it go away. Okay?
You kind of broke up a little on the last part, Icon.
Yeah, you kind of broke it off there. Your reception wasn't great on the last one, Icon.
Okay, what I was going to say is what part did you guys hear?
We heard the last one we heard was McMahon going to get a divorce, and then you were going to say something else, and then you said Triple H ousted.
You said Linda and Linda divorce, and then it was then it went.
John Laurinaitis and his wife, if the accusations prove true, there's going to be a divorce there.
Wow.
Also. You're never probably ever gonna see a McMahon back in that company. That's another prediction.
Well, is Shane still doing the China? Is Shane even near it right now? Or is he very much in WWE?
He's
even doing the company in China didn't save him. Like you think he knows everything? I mean,
I think he does. You know?
Yeah, you're probably right. if he doesn't know exactly, he knows of it. Yeah.
Here's my other two predictions. There's a lot of people whose names have not been mentioned yet. And
oh, man, it's got to be like Salem Witch Hunt in WWE right now.
When you heard that the FBI raided Vince McMahon's house, okay, there's going to be more people coming to light. But I have a feeling Vince McMahon, because he is a smart business guy, Vince McMahon is going to find a way to settle this so it does not go to court, so those that have been unnamed will remain unnamed.
Get in the Coke and Pepsi thing either. I had somebody that blew my mind the other day that said, well, you know, the reason they're going after Vince now is because of his affiliations with Trump. And I didn't want not to go Coke and Pepsi, but I was just – that kind of blew my mind hearing that. I was just like, wow, I wonder if, you know, there's a domino effect. Who knows? I mean, everything's it's crazy.
Man was a member of Donald Trump's cabinet. You know that.
I knew that they had kind of affiliation.
All those big businessmen are going to be like
well,
that.
Well, and look at WrestleMania. I mean, they had the hair versus hair. I mean, come on. I was waiting for the Trump action figure, honestly, from Mattel, but it never happened.
Right.
And they're going to be in that.
I know that we've got about 6 minutes here on the first ever episode of Icon and Friends. Now, I know that Big Swing, you're always busy. You know, you're a bar owner. You're a new daddy. And, you know, hopefully I'd like to try and do this every other week or at least once a month. What do you think?
I mean, I work – now it's 8 p.m. I know I'm an hour behind you or an hour ahead of you, so I can do it weekly. It just has to be it might be at times when, you know, I'm at work and I can't be on for the full scale of the show. But if it's something that you want to do monthly, certainly I can set aside a time to do it. I'm also
You work at a bar?
On Tuesday.
If you work at a bar, then I can just show up there.
Yeah, I mean, you could, yeah. I mean, if you want to come to Albany, New York. Yeah,
man.
You're off on Tuesday nights?
Yeah, I'm off. I work Wednesday through Saturday, and then I do the sports radio during the day every day, but I work nights Wednesday through Saturday, but I'm off Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So, you know, now that football season's over, I won't have Monday night football I have to cover. So, huh?
And you know, I'm busy on Monday nights.
Well, yeah. We have the show, and I'm still producing it, even though I'm not always on it. I still hear everything. I just I've had Monday night football the last 6 months. But,
well,
yeah,
why don't we work on doing this on Tuesday nights?
I'm with it. I'm with it.
That's awesome.
Now, I know this is going to be you and I, but Luke, would you be available sometime?
I would love it. Are you kidding me? Nowhere I'd rather be.
Hey.
All right.
I'll help you. If you want, I can bring Bruce Hart on too if you want.
Sure. Can we add a third wheel there, Swing?
Yeah. I mean, that's fine with me. I mean, the more the merrier.
Yeah.
I mean, the show started off
with
three or four co-hosts. So, you know, it's always good, especially like when I do my you know, sports radio shows during the day, I have a co-host. I can't just sit there and talk for 3 hours. You know, I know you can, but it's not always something that I can do. So, yeah,
well,
no, it's always good to be able to bounce ideas off of people and stuff. So
I love it.
I got to let you know that me and Matthias are going to be in New Jersey in October filming The Black Tent. And hopefully, I don't know how far you are from New Jersey, from where you live, but we're working on trying to get you as an extra in the movie when we're there.
Whereabouts in New Jersey?
I don't know that yet.
Okay, because I'm about an hour and a half from the Jersey border, but I'm about four from Atlantic City. So it really depends on where in Jersey.
Sweet, yeah. Right now we're in Wildwood Crest.
And where are you calling from?
I'm probably going to South Carolina area to Raleigh. Possibly, but pretty much flying by the seat of my pants right now, to be honest. So, but I'm always a cell phone away, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we do this? I'll coordinate this with Big Swing, and why don't we plan on doing this next Tuesday night?
Cool. Yeah, that's cool with me.
I'm with it.
All right.
I love it.
And then, unfortunately, for those of you who are wondering, well, why is the sound quality so different? Well, I'm not in the studio, I understand the guy I work for at the radio station only wants me in his, only wants to see me for 2 hours once a week. That's it. That's all most people can handle.
I will be in the studio, so I will at least be on microphone. But, Icon, you can just go buy, like, a cheap little microphone and at least have mic quality. But, anyway, we got about 45 seconds here, so let's set it up for next Tuesday, and we'll go from there. So, I guess we're calling this show Icon and Friends now, I guess. But maybe we'll put a poll out there and see if someone has a better name. But, anyway, we will see you guys next Tuesday, actually.
You think you know me.